Go. Yes, you. Go and make disciples. But how? How would we even begin to do that? Hi, and welcome to St. Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. My name's Stuart and I get to be the minister here. Before we go any further, we have to say a massive thank you to our brilliant Sunday school children and some of their grown-ups who took part in Stonehouse Gala Day on Saturday as Noah's Ark. A huge thanks to the McInally family for creating an amazing float. Well done, everyone. Today, Jesus has a task for his friends. Go. Go and make disciples. That's a tough task for anyone, but it's one that we're all called to. So let's listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been granted to me. Go therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Matthew's story of Jesus has a different ending than the others. On Easter Day, the day of resurrection, Jesus appears in the garden to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and tells them to go and tell his disciples to go ahead to Galilee and he'll meet them there. One last act of faith, believing what Mary had told them, believing enough to set out on one last long walk. But then it wasn't that much of a risk, because the walk would take them home, but home in a way they could never have imagined. It's 124 miles, that's almost 200 kilometres, and it would take the best part of a week. The disciples would have to retrace their steps, leaving Jerusalem, past the great temple where Jesus had answered all their questions about taxes and tricks about seven husbands. The temple where he'd thrown over the tables and chased out the moneylenders, where he'd pointed to a publican and a Pharisee and commented on their prayers. Past the Praetorium, the Roman palace where Jesus had been tried, where Pilate had very publicly washed his hands and then sentenced Jesus to death, as if his failure to do justice and show mercy were not his responsibility. They walked past the place where Jesus was crucified and past the garden where the empty tomb lay, like a gaping hole in each of their hearts. They traced those familiar steps from the Golden Gate, where the day of resurrection would begin, across the Valley of Death, to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus had been arrested, and on up the Mount of Olives, where Jesus wept for the city, and where he taught his disciples how to pray. They shared a wry smile as they passed the fig tree that Jesus had cursed for having no fruit, even though it was out of season. They stopped at Bethany, at the house of Mary and Martha. The smell of perfume still clung to everything. And they wondered, what must it be like to be Lazarus? They walked quickly down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, fearful of bandits, remembering a parable about a man beaten up, and wondering if they would have stopped to help. At Jericho, they sat under a sycamore tree for lunch, and across the street, they witnessed the strange sight of a tax collector being greeted warmly by those he collected from. As they walked on, someone noticed a cloak still lying by the city gate where blind Bartimaeus had once begged. They went on to the Jordan River, where John had baptized his cousin, and with a noise like thunder had spoken about being pleased with his son. And there on the far side was the wilderness. The wilderness where their ancestors had wandered for 40 years and where Jesus had been tempted. On and on they went, through Samaritan territory, knowing more than ever how it felt to be an outsider. They stopped at Jacob's well for a drink, remembering the Samaritan woman who had asked Jesus for living water. and been filled with a life-giving spring. And instead of being eyed up suspiciously, they were welcomed warmly by a community that she had introduced to Jesus. They remembered that they had stayed there for days. Every step they took, the disciples were confronted with another memory, another face they thought they recognised. There was that place where Jesus had told some of those perplexing parables about lost sheep, lost coins, and a man who had lost two sons, but didn't know it yet. There was one about a fig tree and a vineyard, and it didn't produce any fruit. It got fertilised or it was getting cut down. And another one about tenants in a vineyard who killed the owner's son. There was one about people who only worked for an hour but had been paid the same as everyone else. It was there that John had noticed that in that place there were no men sitting waiting for work anymore. Instead, everyone did what they were able to, and nobody complained about fair shares. With each passing hour, they recalled all that had happened, all that Jesus had said and done, all they'd witnessed, as people who had been lame walked past them, and those who had once been lepers embraced their loved ones. A little girl on the cusp of womanhood played with a woman full of colour and energy, as the girl's father looked on and smiled at them both. Just behind them, five men laughed, and they joked as they fixed a hole they'd made in the roof. "Don't fall down there again, you might get yourself paralysed." Soon they came to the water of the Galilee, and out of nowhere a storm whipped up, and just as quickly, it was still again. Peter smiled as Andrew asked him if he was walking round the lake with the rest of them, or if he was going to walk over it again. Further round, some fishermen were struggling with a huge catch. James and John waded in to help with the nets. They had walked this road 100 times on the way home before from Jerusalem, usually after the Passover. But this time everything was somehow different. As they came close to Capernaum, they were filled with a sense of nervous anticipation. They were almost home. By now, everyone would know what had happened. They would all know that Jesus had been crucified. And they would all know that these disciples, these men and women who had given up everything to follow him, that they were coming back home. But rather than going into the town, they began to climb the hill, up to the place Jesus had taught the people that strange sermon about blessings. The place where he'd fed thousands of them, all with a few loaves and a couple of fish. And there he was, just sitting there, waiting. Waiting like he had been there all along, just wondering when they would turn up, when they would arrive, when they would be ready to encounter him. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But even now, some doubted. Even after all of this, some were unsure, uncertain, unwilling. Unsure if it was really Jesus. Uncertain that it could be him, unwilling to let themselves be taken in, to be opened up to even more disappointment. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Go. Go, don't stay here, but go. Go and change the world. Go and change everything." But how? How could a group of fishermen and tax collectors and political activists change anything? They were just ordinary people. Women and men like you and me. And suddenly it hit them like the proverbial ton of bricks. We can't believe in resurrection without believing that things can change. So we can live with the status quo, or we can live with resurrection. We can't believe in resurrection without getting our hands dirty, making it happen. So we can keep the peace, or we can make the peace. We can't believe in resurrection without journeying to new and impossible places. So we can not rock the boat, or we can step out of the boat. We can't believe in resurrection without being noticed. So we can withdraw and keep our heads down, or we can stand out with our heads up. We can't believe in resurrection without speaking against all that brings death. So we can turn a blind eye, or we can be true witnesses. We can't believe in resurrection without breaking indifference. So we can keep silence, or we can keep vigil. We can't believe in resurrection without calling to account the way things are. So we can just accept, or we could always question. We can't believe in resurrection without sharing life with those who need it most. We can learn which side our bread is buttered on, or we can break bread with others. We can't believe in resurrection without knowing that it changes everything. All the things that were once impossible. So, when the world shifts and a new world is needed, who will go? When nothing's familiar any longer and our voice is no longer recognised, who will speak out? When the darkness comes and a fresh flame is needed to burn, who will light it? When the old ways seem so fragile and the new so uncertain, who will lead the way? When things change and the ground shifts, who will seek a sure foundation? When the Saviour is gone and the way is unsure, who will step out? God's latest saints? God's chief sinners? God's own people? It's us, you and me, us. We will step out. Step out in the name of the one whose presence never leaves us, because he has called us into the world. So we will go.
Transform, revive, and heal society.
Let's pray. This world can make us doubt God. When we see the starving child or the homeless man, when we imagine the plight of the abused woman or the fleeing refugee, this world can make us doubt, Lord. This world can make us tired, Lord. When news is 24/7 of plight and pain and poverty, when leaders say and do what we'd reprimand in our children, when the needs keep on coming and the challenges keep on challenging. This world can make us tired, Lord. What can this world make us learn, though, Lord? When there are naked to be clothed, imprisoned who should be set free, when there are thirsty who need water, what can this world make us learn, Lord? This world can make us love, Lord. When the outcast is left isolated, when the infirm are forgotten, when the anxious are misunderstood, this world can make us love, Lord. Teach us then, Father, Son, and Spirit, teach us all to go, to preach the good news, to be the good news, with love, with courage, and service. Hear us as we join in the words that Jesus said. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Go with God's blessing, to be disciples and to make disciples. Not knowing all the answers, not promising to give all the answers, but content to know and to confirm to others that God is present in all the mix of certainty and doubt that is human life. So go with the blessing of God known to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with us every step of the way.